Back here on the Mighty 690, it is 7:45, and we have joining us on the line here for his monthly update here on KGGF. We have U.S. Representative Derek Schmidt who joins us. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Morning, James. Doing well, thanks. Good to be back with you.
Hey, fantastic. It's always good to chat and catch up here. So, of course, we do have getting into that general election that's on the way. Again, as we've said before, congratulations there on that, of course, getting through the primary and everything. And so we will see how that election shapes up. I know that it seems like it's going to be far off, but November will be here before we know it.
It will. The clock's ticking. Time passes, and the sun will rise tomorrow, so we'll just keep going.
That's right. So getting right into a couple of topics here. I know that beef is pretty much always a topic of discussion here on KGGF, but especially it has been kind of into focus here on the president's proclamation here just on Wednesday in an attempt to lower some of those beef prices. But I did want to hear some of your thoughts here on some of this, potential to import some more beef and that potential impact there on some of our local producers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the administration's heart's in the right place of trying to deal with consumer prices, but I really think that their strategy here is misguided. We told them that. We talked to the White House right after the president made his announcement, suggested they ought to reconsider. Doesn't look like they're going to do that, so we'll take a hard look at it next week when we get back in session and see if there's anything we can do to at least modify the game plan that they put in place, or maybe get them to reverse. And look here, from my vantage point, just having listened to a lot of folks really involved in this marketplace, here's my take on it. I don't think the plan is going to work from the standpoint of trying to lower consumer prices. 100 million metric tons a month, which is what they've announced for 3 months. Sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, but it's not likely to be enough to make a noticeable difference to folks going to the store to buy beef from the freezer case or going to a fast food restaurant to buy a hamburger, which we're talking about trimmed beef to be ground. So that's what we're talking about, not particular cuts. And, so I don't think it's going to work from that vantage point, but what it does do is inject government-caused uncertainty into the marketplace and causes our producers to have more risk and more uncertainty as they're trying to plan over the long term how to rebuild herds after years of drought. And they sold off a lot of breeding stock, and now you got to build those back up in order to build the herd size, in order to get the market right-sized for the demand over time. It's part of the cattle cycle that has run for as long as any of us can remember. And so I think the plan, while well-intended, is misguided. I wish they'd reconsider it. We've told them that, and we'll continue to have those discussions with them.
Well, and it's one of those things, too, with, we didn't really get into this high price situation overnight. And I know it's always one of those balancing things between the producers and the consumers. So I know, like you said before, it's if we, kind of let the markets eventually, work things out, they will probably work things out, even though, some of the consumers may not enjoy some of these higher prices.
Yeah, and markets, that's what markets do. I mean, that's not just a philosophical statement. That's the whole idea. If you let people who want or need to buy things and people who want or need to sell things, if you let them work it out, eventually markets get prices right and get supplies right. It's very strange to me that in an administration that it prides itself, and I think in many ways properly prides itself on trying to protect domestic industries, particularly in the manufacturing space. Here they've gone the opposite direction and trying to provide less protection in the marketplace to domestic industries, particularly our beef industry, which is obviously very, very important to us in Kansas. So, I think their heart's in the right place. I think their strategy is ill-advised, and I hope they will modify it and will continue to carry that message to them. By the way, I might add, I know hamburgers are really expensive now. I was buying some the other day, and I think it was six something a pound, which is a pretty decent price in some places by comparison these days, but a whole lot compared to what we paid just a few years ago. Remember, we do have a lot of really good local choices. I mean, you don't have to buy solely from the big box stores or be produced by the big packers. You can. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what you choose to do or if that's what your pocketbook allows. But there are trusted local sources. We've got some great producers and processors in our immediate area in southeast Kansas. And so if you have that relationship and it works for you, it gives you certainty and support the local economy, and that's always a good thing. So lots of options for folks, and hopefully we can keep the government out of too much meddling in this marketplace, and people will work it out.
Well, and of course, the other thing, obviously, on that same import line, I mean, we're used to some increased imports from Mexico, and obviously with the new world screwworm issue, that has kind of added insult to injury here. But I would imagine as well, once we get some of those, more of those cattle coming in with that phase reopening, I mean, that will end up lowering prices eventually, probably. But it's just one of those things where, again, we want to make sure that those local producers, are not impacted. And that's the other kind of, discussion item as well is, if we hear from our beef producers that, hey, the prices have not kept up with inflation when it comes to that. So I know that's the other thing that I'm sure you've probably heard from those producers is that, we kind of, we need some of these increased prices if you want us to keep doing this.
Well, right, and again, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but that's where market dynamics come into play. People factor in lots of things in their purchasing decision. Price is one. It's very, very important. It's not the only factor that goes into a purchasing decision. And likewise with selling and marketing, if you're on the producer or the processing or the retail side. And so, this happens thousands and thousands and thousands of times each and every day in different markets. In this particular case, there's been a lot of scrutiny, a lot of government attention, a lot of political attention, and I just think the market, and therefore consumers and producers, would be better off if maybe we just sort of, the government would just back off a little bit, leave things steady and predictable, and let the market work things out. So I'm pretty hopeful that can happen, but I understand why there's pressure to the contrary, and we'll try to kind of get that all balanced out.
Sure. We're speaking with U.S. Representative Derek Schmidt here on the Mighty 690, and I know the House is back in session on Monday. I'm curious as to some of your priorities after the five-week district work period.
Yeah, it's been great to be home in Kansas for this extended period. We've been all over the district. Actually, I just finished up my fifth time visiting all 27 of our counties in the 2nd Congressional District, which is great. It's an opportunity to get out and really connect with folks. And so, but I'm feeling refreshed, or, the old expression goes, tanned, rested, and ready, I suppose. But we'll be back in session next week, and I think job one needs to be finishing up the so-called continuing resolution. This is the government funding bill that, bottom line, is designed to prevent a shutdown of federal government operations later this year. We passed a version of it before we left in July. The Senate, being the Senate, bless their hearts, they didn't just pass what we sent them, so they had to put their own fingerprints on it and modify it. I think the modifications are probably fine. They're relatively minor, but of course, because they changed it, we have to pass it again because it has to be identical from both houses. And so we're going to go back and hopefully get that done next week. That will prevent any sort of federal government shutdown, disruption in operations from now until, I think, the date's now in early December, and give us time to finish up the annual appropriation bills. We're supposed to do this with 12 separate bills every year. As we've talked about before, that had not happened until last year since the Clinton administration. We got that done last year in a sort of start and stop and a little bit ugly, but it happened sort of process. We were on track for that this year. We passed all 12 out of the House committee. Three of those we passed out of the House fully, sent to the Senate. And then it became apparent the Senate wasn't going to process any of them, at least not before the election. And so we changed course at that point and went to this no shutdown bill. And I hope we get that done, and then we can get back to business of sort of scrutinizing spending line by line, setting priorities, getting these things done the way they're supposed to be.
Very good. And I know that, there's, really, like I said, not going to be a heck of a lot of time as we lead up to the election in November. Is there anything else that you'd really like to see hopefully get through the, House and eventually, get passed into law here as we do approach November?
There is. There's a lot. Obviously, I'm new in this role. This is the first time I will have lived through an election year in this office. So I can't speak from experience how election years tend to unfold in terms of the House and Senate productivity, but I'm told by folks that have lived through them often, don't expect anything very difficult to get through both chambers until after the election. November and December is when these things get done. Well, I'd rather do them on time, but I'd just be happy we get them done this year. And I say all of that because we do have several big items we really need to get finished this year, most, though not all, but most of which we've already passed through the House and are stalled down over in the Senate, where, again, I'm told they're probably going to remain stalled until after the November election. But we need to finish the National Defense Authorization Act that sets out the funding parameters and policy parameters for all of our military. We do that every single year. We need to get it done this year. We passed it out of the House. It's waiting in the Senate. We really need to finish the farm bill. It's 3 years overdue. We've done big parts of it. We did it in the reconciliation bill last year, but we couldn't do all of it in the reconciliation bill. So important parts remain, including things like the conservation title, for example. We have passed that out of the House, and again, it's stalled out in the Senate. Related but separate from that in the House, we passed a year-round E15, basically repealing the government mandate that restricts consumer access to E15 in some markets during the summertime. Just again, let the market function. If people want to buy it, they can buy it. If they don't want to, they don't have to. But make it available without the government controlling access to it. We've passed that out of the House, stalled down over in the Senate as well. Already mentioned the 12 appropriation bills. We passed three of those all the way through the House. The other nine are pending, but none of them have passed the Senate just yet. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that needs to get done. It's consequential. I'm still hopeful we can actually get a surface transportation reauthorization bill done this year. We haven't yet passed that in the House. It's out of committee. People tell me that's a pretty ambitious objective, but I guess I'm pretty ambitious on that point. I'd really like to get it done. So we'll see if that's possible as well. So there's a lot on the agenda. A lot is moving. I hope we don't leave a lot of cards on the table. It'd be a shame to get this far and not get them done, but we'll do what we can do.
And speaking of things that shouldn't be too hard to pass, I have to selfishly ask you about the AM for Every Vehicle Act. I know it has 317 co-sponsors, of which you are one. So what is it going to take to get that on the floor for a vote?
Yeah, I talked with the leadership, Republican leadership, Leader Scalise, Speaker Johnson, about that. Their desire is to pass that as part of the surface transportation reauthorization, because it does relate, obviously, radios and vehicles, so it is a transportation-related issue. But they have assured me that in the event that doesn't happen, if for whatever reason the transportation bill isn't going, they're willing to put it on the floor for a freestanding vote yet this year, and we told them that's really important. We'd like to get it done. I'd like to get it done this year before automakers start to make decisions about future production years. So I'm pretty optimistic about that, but, again, nothing's terribly certain in Congress and public life until it's done. So we're going to keep pushing on it.
That's how it goes. Well, sir, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us here today and give us some updates on all those specific things that you are working on. And again, it's always a pleasure, and we really appreciate you coming on by today.
Thanks so much. Great to be back with you. We'll talk with you later.
All right. That is U.S. Representative Derek Schmidt here, who joins us every fourth Friday of the month here on the Mighty 690 at this time. And, of course, you have the full conversation we'll have up later at KGGFradio.com. 63 degrees right now, 2 minutes till 8 o'clock. News on the way here on KGGF.